Good morning. My name is Keith Nethery, Rector of St. James Westminster Anglican Church in London, Ontario, and we are thrilled that you have chosen to join us for worship today. Along with the Reverend Hannah Scorer, I'll be leading the Ministry of the Word. As usual, a cast of seemingly thousands in the music department recording from all over the place, and then feeding their various audio files to our sound technician extraordinaire, John Gardy. So participating today, as always, Steve Hollowitz, our tremendous music director, along with Katie Clark, Paul Grambo, Victoria Piovison, and Lauren McDonald. This is a bit of a first, though, with Lauren. She is right now in New Mexico. So this is the first audio file recorded in New Mexico and used in worship at St. James Westminster. Our thanks to all those who participate today, and our thanks to you for joining us. Let's all just take a moment to breathe deeply, to still our spirits, to center our hearts and minds on God. Come, let us worship.
Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and sent into our hearts the Spirit of your Son. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that all people may know the glorious liberty of the children of God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from the book of Romans. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, so that he may be merciful to all. The word of the Lord.
Oh,
A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. Then Jesus called the crowd to him and said to them, "Listen and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles." Then the disciples approached and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees took offense when they heard what you said?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." "Then let them alone. They are blind guides of the blind. And if one blind person guides another, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Then he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and goes out into the sewer? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this is what defiles. For out of the heart comes evil intentions, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile." Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David, my daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. The Gospel of Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the odd things that we do in the Anglican Church is dividing up our Bible readings for the lectionary. And now, while I do appreciate the hard work given to create a flow and a thread that follows through the year, sometimes I think we lose a little in the piecemeal way we read the gospel, and therefore the way that we have to preach. We've been working our way through Matthew for the last few weeks, and what's important here to frame this section of the gospel is the chapters before where Jesus tells his followers what the kingdom of heaven is like, albeit in parable form, which is oh so fun to interpret. Chapter 14, the one right before this section, begins with the empire of Herod and his feast. Exclusion, fear, exploitation, and finally, murder. And then we have the juxtaposition of the feast of the true kingdom, an invitation into the household of God with the feeding of the 5,000 and an example of the kind of inclusion, safety, healing, and compassion we can expect. And what's really important to this part of the narrative, because the first section of our reading takes place firmly rooted in Jewish orthodoxy, the proper Jewish people who are upset by Jesus and have pushed his ministry to the margins. And if that's not enough, Matthew tells us that Jesus goes into the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is not only Gentile territory, but is highlighted by this story as Canaanite, the traditional enemy of the ancient Jews. Now, you might be sitting in your house saying to yourself, this is just a boring history lesson, and I don't really know what it has to do with the gospel. And I will grant you this, it is probably a boring history lesson. But it's important context to understand. See, what we really don't get, seeing as we are not ancient Jews, is the seriousness of Jesus interacting with Gentiles and with this Canaanite woman. Because as much as these two pieces of the gospel don't sound like they're really speaking to each other, they do. Because the healing of the little girl and the defiling of a person are intricately linked. And they both say something very vital about the accessibility of God. We think, with our thoroughly modern perspectives and our Gentile views, that this whole talk about purity and defilement is perhaps a little primitive. It's the strange ancient ideas about hygiene in the body and some Platonic ideas about the flesh. We think we are beyond all that. Beyond archaic notions of purity laws. But the thing is, we're not. We have purity laws. We have agreed ways of behavior. We have socially sanctioned actions and attitudes. We have definitive lines of who is in and who is out. And worst of all, in the back of our minds, underpinning it all, is an assumption that our way is the correct way. That those who do not meet our expectations of race or gender or sexuality or age or economic status are somehow personally at fault for not being us. That they did this to themselves. That we're not upholding some privilege and power we stole by dehumanizing others, but that we are upholding a universal standard set by God. And so we are defiled. Because what Jesus is telling us by word and action in this gospel is that it's not how well we play the game of being good, but how hospitable, how loving, how gracious we are that makes us pure. And here's where it's going to get a little complicated, but hang with me. Because I think what we see here is so necessary to our discussion of diversity and inclusion in the contemporary world we live in. Because what we have here in this gospel is Jesus operating out of male Jewish privilege with all the racial connotations of that, interacting with a Canaanite woman. Now, I don't say these things lightly, nor do I want to open a can of worms about Jesus' sinlessness or his humanness, but what I want to highlight, what I think is important to highlight, is that Jesus does not need to talk to her. He's male. He's Jewish. He has no reason to cross these lines. His disciples don't want him to do it. And his privilege as such would protect him if he continued to ignore her. But what does he do? He sees her. He turns around. He gives her time. He acknowledges her faith. He does what he does time and time and time again. He gives away his privilege. He lets his love for humanity take the place of his social status. The kingdom of heaven is this, a place with no privilege. The privilege that exists in the world is privilege invented by us. The order of the world is our making, not God's. Our defiling of ourselves through it is our fault. We make rules about who is in and who is out, who is right and who is wrong, who is loved by God and who is not. And in the making of those rules, we protect only the privileged and not the vulnerable. We only separate ourselves from God as we separate ourselves from his people, his creation. We want, with all our privilege, to make this a story simply about Jesus having pity and charity for some poor woman, because that's what we would do, and call it righteous, call it good, call it holy. But this is more than that. This is the kingdom being built. This is love coming down. This is the Son of God loving the very people his Jewish ancestors hated, the enemy of the chosen people. This is love that crosses boundaries and borders and tears down walls. It is love that gives of itself, its power, its privilege, and does not demand payment or submission. It is a radical breaking of societal standards. We are on the precipice of a new world, my brothers and sisters, and we have a choice to make. Will we continue to separate ourselves from God with words of defensiveness and fragility in the face of injustice, or will we shed the chains of privilege and meet our Savior in the margins? Will we give up our demands for respect and submission to our power and status as the price for our tolerance? And will we throw away the rules, turn back, see the other, and love them as God loves us? Amen.
Let us now confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we pray for those that we know to be in need. We lift each of them to you. We ask you to show us how we can help. God, we pray for our church as we try to figure out how to reopen with concerns about COVID-19. About what worship will look like. Will we find comfort? Will it be strange? God, help us not to cling to traditions in what was, but to prepare our hearts and minds and spirits to come into your house and simply experience. God, we pray for all those in our medical community, our first responders, our governments, our leaders, all those who face incredible stress as they deal with a pandemic not known in our lifetimes. Help us to encourage rather than criticize. God, we pray for peace, something incredibly fragile in our world. For it seems everywhere we look, there's violence, anger, and hatred. But you call us to come above that, to see light and love, to find in all humans the spirit that you gave them. We pray for ourselves. Might we at least attempt to be fearless in looking inside? In coming to understand who we are and whose we are, that which we have done right, that which we have done wrong. Those things that we hold on to even though we know we shouldn't. And God, we pray this day for those whose journey in this life is ending or has ended, knowing that life really doesn't end, it simply changes. Our last breath in this life is our first breath in whatever you have for us in that place called heaven. Comfort those who grieve, those who perhaps don't believe and don't see that there is more. And in all things, God, we give you thanks. Although we're going 100,000 miles an hour, never stopping to evaluate, to think, to see what has been given to us, help us to slow down. Help us to spend some time today to see your footprint in our lives, to see your love in our hearts, and to recognize just how thankful we should be. We offer our prayers this day in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier, God as we understand you. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, those that you love, and those that love you, this day and forevermore. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.